it's quite a gruesome thing to remember, but it's such an important thing in the Christian calendar. It's probably one of the most important events in the Christian calendar. So this morning, as we generally do on Good Friday, we're going to read a lot of the readings that are in the Gospels. And as I'm sure everyone knows, you get little snippets from each of the Gospels. You get part of the story in one and part of the story in another. And what we have is a compilation of all of those passages put as sequentially as we can, possibly can. And it actually comes together quite well. And I'm going to solicit some help from some people to come and read those. And just a bit of a heads up for the readers, when we come to the readings, we will see that there's a mix of colours in the text, and at the beginning of each section, there's a whole lot of verses quoted, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and so on. The colours indicate which gospel each of the sections come from. You don't have to do them in different voices. You don't have to speak like Mark and Matthew and John. No. Just your normal voice will be fine. But I think it will flow better if you don't read the verses, readers. Don't read the quotes. Just read the text. And it's amazing how it all fits together quite well. So let's make a start. I will hand over to the band and we'll start our service for the morning.
All right. Thanks, Paul. If everyone would like to stand up, our first song for today is King of Kings.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Thank you.
Great job, everyone. I saw there was a few actions going on in the crowd. It was good. Our second one for today is Oh Praise the Name. Song for today is What a Beautiful Name. You were the Word at the beginning. Now revealed in you, our Christ.
singing sounds great this morning, everyone. And I was just thinking it's not difficult to pick a song that's relevant to Easter. All of those songs told the story and mentioned the crucifixion, the rising on Sunday morning. It's all such an integral part of the Christian faith that so many songs reflect that story. Now, before we start our readings, as usual, I'd like to repeat the Lord's Prayer according to Luke chapter 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So, a very important event, as I've been saying, and prophesied right through the Old Testament. Isaiah spoke quite a bit about what would happen to Jesus and how he would bear our griefs, carry our sorrows. All came to fruition on this day. It may not have been this day, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether it was Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. This is the day we have set aside in our society to remember Good Friday. And so we do. Now, as we are going through these readings, as you read the different Gospels, it gets pretty confusing when the different writers mention the time of day. And it helps if we can keep in mind that there were two time systems operating at the time of Jesus. There was the Jewish time system, and their night would start, or the day would start at 6 o'clock in the evening and go through. So the sixth hour of the night was midnight, 12 o'clock. Ninth hour would be 3 a.m. in the morning. And then sunrise, the start of the day, still the same day, but as opposed to night, it was now day. And during the day, the hours referred to also third hour of the day, sixth hour of the day, and so on. Whereas the Roman time system, which is really the one that we follow today in our society, the start of the day was 12 midnight, third hour, 3 o'clock, sixth hour, 6 a.m., and so on. And so it's helpful to remember that Mark, Gospel of Mark, mainly uses this Roman time system. And the other three Gospels, Luke, John, and Matthew, use the Jewish method of telling the time. And, of course, there is the extra confusion that sometimes they're talking the third hour of the night or the third hour of the day. But when you work it all out, it actually all fits together perfectly. And as we go through the readings, you'll see that we have a time in the top, well, somewhere on the screen that indicates in our time clock what time of day this event was happening, starting to happen. And so if you see a reference in the text that doesn't refer to that, it's probably because they're working on a different time clock. And the other thing that I want you to notice is that we have this diagram here, which is the old city of Jerusalem. And it shows the key places that the events took place. And we can see a line that follows the path that Jesus would have taken to the point where they had the Last Supper, going across to the Garden of Gethsemane, coming back, trial before Pilate, up to Herod, back to Pilate, then to the place of crucifixion. And there are two possible places that could have been, one outside the city. It's a very beautiful garden that's now open to for people to go to, and the other is within the city, which is actually on the side of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So we don't really know exactly where that place of crucifixion is. Personally, I think the one outside of the city carries a little bit more weight scripturally, but you can see both of them there on this diagram. And as we go through, we'll follow that path where Jesus would be at the time. Now, I'm going to ask Caleb if he would come and do this first reading for us. Just while he's coming, this is a model, a scale model of the old city of Jerusalem. You can see the temple there, which was the focal point of their worship and sacrifice. A huge, huge structure in comparison to the little houses round about. So that's the environment that this was all happening in. So I'll ask Caleb to come up and read the first couple of sections for us, and he's going to read through to until we get to the Garden of Gethsemane. Thanks, Caleb.
Thank you, Paul. All right, our first reading is the Last Supper at 6 p.m. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began, every one of them, to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many by the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I shall die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. 9 p.m. in the Garden of Gethsemane.
To read the Garden of Gethsemane?
Okay, good. And he came out and went, as he went, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, which was named Gethsemane, into the which he entered and his disciples. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Jesus is arrested. Jesus betrayed and arrested. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he, and Judas also, which betrayeth him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me shall I not drink. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. In the same hour said Jesus to the multitude, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father in the law of Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people.
Thank you, Caleb. Now, I'll just flip back and say a bit about those diagrams there. You can see, as we said, we're following the path that Jesus would have taken. Nobody knows exactly where they had the Last Supper. If you go to Jerusalem and take a tour, they'll show you the exact place, but it's not exactly the place because the whole place was flattened. It's just what they think it might have been. We do know where the Garden of Gethsemane is. That's still there, and some people claim that those trees are that old. I don't know. It's supposed to be a beautiful garden. It doesn't look all that beautiful to me, but maybe it's all relative. If you compare it with the desert, it's very beautiful. So we see the path that Jesus took comes taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he is taken back to, first of all, to the high priest, Caiaphas, and trying to find enough evidence that they can go to Pilate and have him brought to trial and justice done as they see it. And that's where we are up to now. There's some events here which we aren't going to read about. I think that's still coming, and I might just ask Jenny to come up and read this next section, if you would. It's only a short section, but we will be having a hymn after this, and that's hymn 69, and then Michelle, Jenny will read up to the hymn and introduce the hymn, and then Michelle will come up and read the next section after that. Thanks, Jenny.
Okay, so this is where the religious leaders condemn Jesus. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servant and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple, whither the Jews also always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Do I need to read anything on this screen? Jesus stands trial before Pilate. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, when he spake signifying of what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault in him. I find no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Hymn 69. Hymn 69. Thou the great Redeemer died, the curse for to remove, for thou for sin was crucified, that all may know thy love.
from bloody Pilate sending Jesus to be crucified. Just seeing if you're all listening. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out again, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For, behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" Jesus is crucified. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. And sitting down, they watched him there.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Jenny, for those readings. There was, as I said, there was a section in there that we didn't read. That was where first Jesus goes to Pilate. Pilate finds out he's from Galilee, tries to fob off the decision and send him to Herod. Herod doesn't want anything to do with it, sends him back to Pilate. So Pilate is faced with this task of dealing with the Jewish leaders wanting to destroy Jesus and having to make some decision about that. Now, I'm going to ask Martin to come up and just read the final section of the reading where we see what happened to Jesus on the cross and afterwards his burial. Thanks, Martin.
The Repentant Thief from Luke 23, 39-43. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. The women at the cross. Mark 15:40-41. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the lesser, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. John 19:25-27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Darkness over the earth. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, 12 p.m. The death of Jesus and the first earthquake, 3 p.m. Matthew 27:46. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:47. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he called Elias. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Matthew 27:48. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Luke 23:36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. John 19:30. and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Luke 23:48. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. The burial of Jesus. John 19:30-42. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. To be continued, Sunday morning.
Thank you, Martin. So we've had the full story up to the point where Jesus is laid in the tomb. There's one point there that I'd like to just say a few words about this morning, and that is the veil of the temple being torn. Now, we've seen pictures before of the old tabernacle. We had there a picture of the model of the temple that would have been at the time of Jesus. The original tabernacle, of course, was much smaller. It was just a tent, but it was the model that was used for this construction of the temple. And this veil that's spoken about, there was a veil in this tall section that we see there on the screen. It was divided into two places, the holy place and the holy of holies. And in the tabernacle there was a veil that went into the first area. In the temple here at the time of Herod, I believe it was a door. But there was still a veil between the holy place and the holy of holies. Now the first section was where the showbread was kept, and the priests went in there to burn incense on an altar, and that was a regular occurrence. But the Holy of Holies, only the high priest went in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. So that veil sort of represented a barrier between man and God. So we had that three stages. We had the common people, and then we had the area that only the priests would go into, and then we had the area which was only accessible once a year, symbolic of a separation between the people and God. And the people had to go through the priests to have those sacrifices carried out for them every day. And continually. And only once a year the high priest would be able to go in to the Holy of Holies. So this tearing of that veil is a tremendous symbol that there's something massive that's changed when Jesus is crucified. It signifies to us as Christians that the whole system of sacrifice and the means of reconciling ourselves to God changed at that point in time. Rather than priests having to continually offer sacrifices for the people, for the sins of the people, Jesus offered himself once and for all as a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is available to us today. And him going through that ordeal on the cross, that crucifixion, which is, it's a very sobering story to read, just what he had to go through for us. But the significance of it is that once and for all, a perfect man offered himself as an atonement for our sins. And if we accept that sacrifice, confess that we believe he is the Son of God and that he died for us, then we can receive that grace, that gift of salvation as a gift. Now, if we think about our personal situation, we know that we are made up of three parts: a spirit, a soul, and a body. The spirit comes from God, and that's the part that would be closest to God. The body, the physical part, we can touch, we feel, we know most about that. The soul, somewhere in between, we understand as our intellect, our ability to reason and make decisions. That's probably the part that's really held accountable for our actions. But we don't really have much communication with that spirit. There is a veil between those two, between the soul and the spirit. Now, we understand that to be because we are all fallen beings. We have evil within us, and that evil is what causes us to sin, what allows Satan to attract that evil and cause us to sin. And that we refer to that as a veil. We have a hymn which says the evil is a veil, a covering long and broad, which doth from man conceal the knowledge of his God. But when it's thrown down below, then God will be revealed to his children. His children, God will fully know. And that's a tremendous symbolism that goes right along with this, the tearing of the veil in the temple. What we are looking for is the tearing of the veil that is holding us from God. The sacrifice of Jesus and the crucifixion opens up the way for us to talk directly to God through Jesus, whereas previous to that, it had to be done through priests and through a tradition of sacrifices that was given to the Israelites. But now we can go directly to Jesus. He can make intercession to us for God. And our daily prayer is that veil of evil. Even though we are saved, we've confessed and we believe in Jesus and we are saved, we still sin. Everyone still does the wrong thing at some stage. And that's because we still have this evil within us, this veil within us. And what we pray for every day is that that evil will be removed. So I think that's the message that I'd like everyone to take away today. Pray for that evil to be taken out of you, out of each and every one of us. Jesus didn't have the evil in him. He was born as the Son of God, so he had a bit of an advantage over us. But that also made him able to be a perfect sacrifice and make that sacrifice so that we could live and have that opportunity to have the veil removed from us. So I think everyone's listened very attentively this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and let's finish off with one song, one we know very well, Glorious Day.
Thank you.
you can all take a seat.
Thank you, band. Thank you, readers. Thank you all for coming. I hope you have enjoyed the service. Just leave you with that verse from Matthew. Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, some announcements. Easter Sunday, the dawn service. Hope to see you all there, 6 o'clock on Terrigal Beach. Anyone that wants to come early to help us take instruments down, we'll be here at 5 o'clock. 10 to 5. And then, of course, we have our Sunday, usual Sunday service at 11:30, and we'll continue the readings to see what happened when Jesus rose on Sunday morning. Enjoy your Easter break, everyone. We'll see you all on Sunday.